This coming Wednesday night, now we'll be having a Bible study about the crucifixion of Christ. We'll follow him from Pilate's judgment hall to Calvary, and we will see how the Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled in just about everything that happened at Calvary. And the point in going through this, showing how that Christ fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures, is to affirm our faith in the scriptures, the veracity, the truthfulness of God's word. And then too, the fact that it is divine, that God spoke these things before they ever happened. We have a God, we serve a God who knows the past and the future, and as well as the present. Nothing catches him by surprise. And it's wonderful when you can place your confidence in one who knows all these things, isn't it? And to know that we know what's going to happen out here in the future. Of course, we're in the here and now. We're in the trenches. But there's coming a time when God's people will be victorious overall. Brother Bryant's going to preach for us tonight. Come on.
Thank you, Pastor.
You can take a picture. I don't need you, sure. I probably will not say anything that you don't know already, but I hope to draw it together. We're going to speak tonight on this subject, the messages of Revelation. When I was in college, seminary back in the 50s, they told me that Revelation was a great mystery. So I looked through the Revelation, and I looked for a great mystery, and I couldn't find it. What I did find was the mystery of change, 1 Corinthians 15:1 or 51. Revelation 20, or 1:20, is the mystery of the seven stars. In Revelation 10:7 is the mystery of God's that God should finish his work. Revelation 17:5-7, the mystery of the great Babylon and the mystery of the woman. But I did not find it as a great mystery, because it's not in there. It is no mystery. Let's just turn to Revelation chapter 1. First of all, it is not the message of the revelation of St. John the Divine. Verse 1 says the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revealment, the unfolding, or the opening up of God's word concerning Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. I hope you've got your Bible tonight, because when you're studying the Word of God, you need your Bible. Most people today that go to church don't even carry a Bible. Reminds me, after I was called to preach, I went to my home church back in Indiana, in South Bend, Mount Methodist Church, Mount Pleasant Methodist Church back in Indiana, and I was asked to speak there. My aunt was the person that was more or less in charge of that church, because the preachers were circuit preachers. They'd go to one church one Sunday, the next church the next Sunday, and they would preach, you know, and teach. And this church, particularly that Sunday morning, the pastor wasn't going to be there. And so my aunt asked me, since I'd been called to preach, to preach. And on Saturday morning, she called me and said, "You can't preach on Sunday morning." She says, "We got a hold of the National Council of Churches, and they said there was no Baptist could preach in that Methodist church." I'm not telling you to lie. This is true. My wife verified it. But my aunt, she's a smart little lady. She said, "Will you come and teach my Bible class?" Amen. She taught the adult Bible class. And so I went to the Bible class and picked up their periodical, you know, the quarterly that they use, you know, and they were still in Genesis. I don't think they ever got out of Genesis in that old church. There was three Bibles in that class, and the class is about as big as we have here tonight. There was my wife's Bible, and my Bible, and the teacher's Bible. And I began to teach on where God said, "Let us make man in our image." It was in the quarterly. And my aunt says to me, "Who was God talking to when he said, 'Let us make man in my image'?" Now, my aunt has been in that church, and she was the adult Bible teacher. She did not know. And, of course, that opened the door for me right away. John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and tabernacle among us, and we behold his glory," the glory of the Lord. Not only the glory. Anyway. Our churches are in real trouble today. And they're in trouble because they do not know the book of Revelation. They do not know dispensations. They do not know ages of God. And most pastors of our churches today do not teach the Revelation. They won't touch it. But it's the most important book of the day and hour that we live in. These are the last days. It's the last days of church age. It's the coming of the age of the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation, and eventually moving into the 1,000-year millennial reign. So the message of Revelation is not the message of John the John the Apostle. Rather, it is the message of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, in these last days. It's a message, first of all, to those that believe. Look what he said here, "Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants these things which must shortly come to pass." And that means when they begin to happen, it's going to start to, it's going to be real quick. And look at what our world is and how fast it's moving today. We can't keep up with it, particularly in the computer age. You guys with computers, your computer is changing every month practically. You got to ditch the old one and buy a new one. I don't have a computer. I wouldn't even know how to turn one on, and I don't want to know how to turn one on. He's sent and signified by his angel, that's his messenger. Angels are messengers. "Unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God." Revelation is a record of the Word of God for the last days. Of the times of the Gentiles. It's a message to Jews and Gentiles both. If you remember, Israel said, "Crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not have him to rule over us. Let his blood be on our children." And God has set them aside for 2,000 years. You know how you take a train that you don't want to use and you just put it on a sidetrack? God has sidetracked Israel for the times of the church. This 2,000 years, God has not really dealt with Israel. But the tribulation period is the judgment and the restoration of Israel. When God will again bring Israel into focus, and he will deal with Israel, and the tribulation period is the time that God will deal with Israel and restore her. In Revelation 7, he's going to have 144,000 evangelists that are going to preach in that particular time to the Jewish people, and multitudes of people of the people in Israel is going to hear the word and accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Revelation chapter 7. Also, there will be a multitude of Gentiles that will also come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody has said we're not headed for tribulation or for revival. I don't know about America in revival, but I'll tell you this much. Israel in the 7-year tribulation period is going to have one of the greatest revival that ever happened in the world. Revelation 7 tells us that. It's a message to the believers over in verse 2 here, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Now look at this in verse 3. I had a professor in college that said that you can't know what the book of Revelation is all about. Now this is back in the 50s. You know, these blowhards, sometimes they don't really know what's going on in these colleges. That college today is in trouble. But I won't get into that tonight, but we know about it. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And beloved, we are at that time right now. Yes, we are. So the message here is to the believers. It's a record of the word of God, a blessing to the believers. When I looked at this, I see they're going to get a blessing out of reading the Bible. So I want that blessing. I want to know what this book says. This is the greatest piece of literature or word of God, if you want to call it that right now, and that's what it is. It's the greatest word of God in the Bible today and for this hour. Our churches should be preaching this and teaching it and telling the folks what that. God is going to save Israel. What did Paul say? Has God cast off his people Israel? No way. No way. We have got the message out today in these modern churches that there is a replacement called theology. Replacement theology. And replacement theology says that the church has replaced Israel. And God is through and done with Israel. If they'd read Revelation chapter 7, they would know that God is not finished with Israel. God, for Israel is God's people, the apple of his eye. Israel will one day know Jesus as a personal Savior, as Messiah, and there was a treasure for it. The record of the word of God is here. The blessing is to the believer. It's a message of Jesus Christ to all that believe. Look at verse 5. Well, actually, verse 4 of this first chapter here. John, to the servant church, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus the Messiah, who is faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. There's nothing more powerful than that, beloved. Nothing more powerful than that. To him, the witness of God, come, who loves us, who washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto our God, and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with a cloud, and every eye shall see him. This is not the rapture of the church here. This isn't for the church. This is when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they will see him coming. And they will know who he is. Look what it says, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with cloud. And that's a stormy attitude. That's a stormy time. That is when the world is in turmoil. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Who did the piercing? The Roman Empire. But the Jews gave him over to the Roman Empire. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Let it be. For he, verse 8, said, I am Alpha and Omega, and the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Is that hard to understand? Just let the Word speak. And let the Word teach. That's what God wanted with the Bible to begin with. The Word, that it might guide us, might lead us, might teach us, and we might know who he is, we might know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, we might know who the Holy Spirit is, and most of all, you might know who you are. In the Revelation, we have the message to the churches. Revelation chapter 2 through chapter 3. The first church, a wonderful church. He had many comments for it, but he also had a condemnation toward it. And that's that they left their first love. What is the first love? You and I did not know love, true love, until Jesus Christ came into your life. Amen. I loved that lady over there, humanly. I really learned to love her when I came to Jesus Christ as my Savior at 30 years of age. That's when I learned to love her. Because I learned that God loved me, and he sent me out to preach the message of love. To teach the message of love, to be a perfect example, the best I could, to her and to whosoever God would send me to speak to. I know that word. I'm not going into all the churches of the chapter 2 and to chapter 3, but I want you to look. Here it was, Jesus only found with the first church, they left their love. But look at the church of Laodicea in the third chapter in verse 14. And unto the angel, and this is the pastor, the leader of that church, the angel's a messenger again. The angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that there were hot or cold. He would like to know really where the church stands. I think Jesus today would like to know where the real church stands. Now think on that for a moment. This little lady that came to church this morning, Melissa, she just accepted the Lord as her Savior. She heard pastor's messages on the internet. She told us that she had been to church after church after church after church, and she couldn't find a church.
that would bless her and teach her about Jesus. Isn't that right, Pastor? That's what she said. This is what's happened to the church today. And the church is the Laodicean church, the last church in the dispensation of the church age. They're neither hot nor cold.
So then, because that thou art lukewarm, neither hot, neither cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
In other words, it's not the Lord's church anymore. Thank God, beloved, we have got the Lord's church in this place. It teaches and preaches the Bible, the Word of God. It blesses our hearts. It blesses our souls. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect till we see Him. There is no perfection in this world. But thank God we're not what we used to be. Thank God we still have a nucleus that loves the Word of God and teaches the Word of God. And the Bible is the rule and guide of our faith.
Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have nothing, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
And all of that has to do with their spirituality. He's not talking about the physical church. He's talking about the spiritual church. They're naked in spiritual life. They're poor and they're blind.
I counsel thee, Jesus is saying to the last church, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and whiter raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see who?
Him. The Messiah. Jesus, the Son of God.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
And by the way, we're not hearing of this word repent anymore. What is repent? It's metanomenai. Is the Greek word, and it means this, a change of the mind toward God. Where we once walked away from God in sins and degradation, now we walk to Him. A turning, a reaching out, and accepting and believing. John Baptist came repentance. Jesus came and preached repentance. We still, in this church and in the fundamentals, the faith of the gospel, we still preach Jesus Christ crucified, buried, raised again, the justification for all mankind. And in order to find Him, you must repent. Repentance is the first step towards salvation. A change of mind toward Him. A change of mind toward Jesus Christ. And if America doesn't change, she is not going to have a great revival. Now here's what he says to the last church, and he's saying it in this day because Laodicea is a representative of the last church of the church age. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's not the heart's door, that's the church's door. And then he says, if any man or any one hears, hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Wow. Like Sam says, I like that. Well, Sam, when you say wow, I like that wow. Wow. Even as I also come and have sat down with my Father in His throne,
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look who's talking to the churches today. The Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is not welcomed, I believe, in 90% of the churches in America. We hear of great goings on down in Brazil. We hear of great goings on in Africa. And we hear of great God moving and blessing, and churches are being packed out and people are coming to be saved in other countries. What's wrong with America? Here it is, Laodicea. Naked, blind. Sad. Sad. I've just got started and it's already 5 after. The message of chapter 2, chapter 3 to the pastors of the church, the first church and the last church. Let me give you some of these other. Jesus' last message to the church, I just covered that. Chapter 5. Go run over there for just a minute. Chapter 5 is the message of the Lamb of God. Chapter 5 says, I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and without, the backside sealed with 7 seals. What is that book? It's a title deed to the earth. Adam lost it. He was given dominion. He was given complete control of all things that God created. But he fell and he lost that authority and dominion. And it will never happen again to give it to man until Jesus Christ comes and rules and reigns. And that will give. You notice here, the book is sealed. 7 seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open this title deed to the earth and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much, John said, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And then, verse 5, one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Here is a look at Jesus, who is the root of David. He is worthy. If you go on and read that thing, go down to verse 9, look here. And they sang a new song after this, see? Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God, here it is again, kings and priests, and we shall rule or reign on the earth. One of these days, we're going to be called out of here. The trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But we're coming back. When he comes, Revelation chapter 19, when he comes back to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we're coming back with him. Who do you think the armies are? It says he's coming with his armies. We taught our kids, I'm in the Lord's army. It's a good song. We're coming back to rule and reign with him. We are priests and God, and kings and priests unto our God. You are somebody separated, as Pastor told us this morning, unto our God. And he's going. When we leave this life here, we are going into a greater service and ministry that we've ever known. To rule and reign with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what greater thing would be than that? Well, beloved, we serve a great God. I got so much more to say to you here. I don't have enough time. Chapter 5 is the message of the Lamb of God. And verse 12 says, worthy is the Lamb of God. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, to finish up with you, I'm going to give you Revelation chapter 6, message of judgment to come, the day of his wrath. Verse 17, this message covers chapters 6 through 12. This is a message of judgment. That's in Revelation chapter 6, behold, says in verse 12, when he hath opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black with sackcloth, with hair and moon becoming as blood, and stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heavens were departed as a scroll when he is rolled together, and every mountain and every island moved out of their places. Verse 15, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, these men who are in authority throughout all the world, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's the anger of the Lamb. Did you ever see a ram get angry? It's unreal. What do? They get at each other and they bang their heads together. It is a great power. This is what it's talking about here. The wrath of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. We found the Lamb way back in John the Baptist's ministry when he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That was his introduction. And he said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us, face our face from the that sitteth on the throne of the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I'll conclude with this. We, the church of the living God, will not see this hour. You are saved and set apart for the coming of the Lord. And all of the book of Revelation from chapter 5 on, even chapter 4, from that on, is all in the future. But we are to be called out of here. The church is not appointed unto the tribulation judgment. This is on 7 years. Revelation, say 5 through 19, is the tribulation period. After that, all new things. He said, Revelation 21, I'll make all things new. New heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. Let me tell you something. Who's going to inhabit the earth during the millennium? Jews and Gentiles. Where are you and I going to be? We're going to be in the New Jerusalem. Come on. Amen? We're resurrected. We're going to be in the New Jerusalem. That's our home. That great city is coming down from God out of heaven. Where is God going to be? God is going to be in the new heavens. Remember he said, make a new heaven, a new earth, the first heaven, the first earth will pass away. No more. God and the angelic beings will be in the new heaven. Where will the nations be? Well, I think Abraham had a promise, didn't he? That they would inherit the land forever. It belongs to them. What's the land? It's Jerusalem. It's the great city. Where will the Gentile nations be? They'll be in the millennium. They're going to be in this earth, the new earth, the last days. Where is the devil and the Antichrist and all Christ rejectors going to be? In Gehenna, which is the lake of fire. New heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem. These are the final dwelling places
of God's people and those who are not God's people. Thank the Lord tonight that you're saved, born again, a child of God, and you're headed for the day and the hour when he'll be called up to meet him in the air, and we shall rejoice throughout eternity. If you're here tonight and you have not received Christ as your Savior, please do it right away. It's simple. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me and forgive me my sins. I repent of my rejection of you. I turn to you now, believing and receiving you, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, whose blood has been shed for me, and that I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb for eternity. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you for the short time we've had to speak concerning these things. May you bless the hearers and the seers, and Lord, may most of all bless those, if they have never trusted Christ as your Savior, to do it now, because we do not know the day, the hour, the moment when you're going to come, but we know that you're coming, and we know that we should be saved and be ready to meet you in the air when you call us out, for the church will not go through the tribulation period. God bless and thanks. Amen.